Episode 1069, My Strength is My Story with Ashley Wrights. You are beautiful.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio.
Happy every day. How is your week going? For me, it's blowing by really fast, and I'm hanging on as tight as I can. These winds are so blustery. But you know what? You're going to hold on right with me, aren't you? Because today is My Strength is My Story series, one of my favorite days of the week. And we have with us an incredible woman. Her name is Ashley Wrights. She is an international curve model. So we talk a little bit about a model makeover. She's got a brand new book out, and we're talking dating. Oh, yes, you'll want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Ashley's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, Ashley is like the girlfriend next door. In fact, I would even adopt her as my daughter. Okay, maybe she's just a smidge too old to be my daughter. Well, unless if I was going to be. Okay, that's for another episode. But she is so sweet, and she is so humble, and she's so energetic, full of joy, and she shares her heart with you. Now, I've got to forewarn you, this is a little longer episode, but we could not stop talking. It was just one of those things, you know, when you go have coffee with someone and you just have that connection. Well, you're going to enjoy that connection, I promise you. So you'll want to stay tuned. Plus, you love a good love story, right? We all appreciate love stories. Well, you will be able to enjoy that love story at the end when you hear a little bit about what happened with her on the series Coupled. It's a dating reality show casted by Mark Burnett. It's going to be kind of, well, maybe juicy. Well, you'll have to stay tuned. And then we have so many other things that we talk about. Comparison, are you good enough? And I got to give a shout out to her co-author, Laura Lee Craker. You know, Laura Lee, I am so glad that you connected with her because the book is incredible. The book is called You Are Beautiful. And you are beautiful. We all sometimes think that we aren't, but I promise you right now, by the end of this episode, you will feel that you are beautiful. So without further ado, let's welcome in Ashley Wrights, You Are Beautiful, a model makeover from insecure to confident in Christ. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now, my favorite time. It is My Strength is My Story series. And we have on an extraordinary woman here with us today. Her name is Ashley Wrights. She is a top international curve model who found herself in the spotlight after attending beauty school in Michigan, where Elite Model Management in Chicago picked her up. She has appeared in 17 Magazine along with national ad campaigns for Avon, Saks Fifth Avenue, and David's Bridal. Are you ready to get married? Ashley has been an ambassador for the popular movement Healthy is the New Skinny. She has also served on the board for Miss Southwest Florida USA. Most recently, Ashley joined the cast of Mark Burnett's new reality show, Coupled, seen on Fox, which, by the way, I actually watched. In her brand new book, You Are Beautiful, and I think she has a copy of it. I only got the advanced copy of it. But You Are Beautiful, a model makeover from insecure to confident in Christ. Her greatest passion is speaking to young women about self-worth, identity, beauty, dating, purity, and the joy that only comes from knowing Christ. Ashley, my friend and sister in Christ, welcome. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat about all of that and more.
And more. That's right. We got to get the details, especially on Coupled. I mean, come on. BT, okay. We'll leave that till maybe a little bit later. But I'm excited. It's awesome to have you here. What a life. I love your book, and it's a beautiful book. And we're going to go into details about how you have really set up the book and how you've written it, the beauty box that's in the book also. And so I can't wait to get into that. But before we do, I want you to share with us what keeps you happy and hopping right now.
Yeah, happy and hopping right now. Man, well, I just moved from Florida. I spent the last like 5 years living in Florida and kind of going back and forth between Michigan, my home state, and Florida, just depending on, you know, work season and all of that. But I'm back in Michigan now, so I'm getting used to the cold. I've been here for like 2 weeks. way different. But yeah, I, you know, with the book coming out, I think that all of these different opportunities that have been coming, just, you know, to have conversations about what the book is about and getting to know people and just kind of sharing the things that I'm passionate about. That's, you know, as of recent, like what's just kind of keeping me excited and just enjoying, you know, this time of where I'm at and looking forward to, you know, whatever God brings my way through it. So that is, you know, definitely one of the main things. And then, yeah, happy and hopping, just, you know, the holidays are around the corner. Yeah, just holidays and all that fun stuff. So, you know, I think the move has kept me busy. I'm, like I said, just that transition and excitement just to see, like, okay, God, like, what's next? Like, I'm excited, ready to go. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
No. That's awesome. That what next? That yearning for, I know there's something more. Yeah. And I think as a Christian, we have that pull even greater than what the person who doesn't know God as their Savior and Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because we're listening and we know that God's doing more. It's not just what's here right now. There's something in the future to look forward to.
Right. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. It's like, you know, for example, with like the book and getting, you know, some chances here and there to do some speaking, it's like, it is being content in the moment and being like, wow, this is great. This is what God has brought. But like you said, I think that as a Christian, we do, you know, live with that, our focus on the future and eternity and like, okay, God, like, what are you gonna, you know, we know that we have, we serve a God who is a God who's always at work, and it's just exciting to be like, all right, what are you gonna, how are you gonna use us, and how are, you know, our stories gonna glorify you? And so, yeah, it's exciting.
Oh, it is exciting. Well, we've got to get into your book because you wrote a beautiful book. It is titled You Are Beautiful. I found it very interesting because you're not some old person, I'm putting that in air quotes, because maybe I'm not quite old enough to be your mom. I'm pretty close, though.
You don't look it.
Well, thank you. But having five children of my own, things can be a little bit crazy. And so reading your book from a younger perspective was fascinating to me. And it drew me back into a couple things. One, it drew me back into my younger years, my teenage, and when I was dating and when I was trying to find who I was even in college. And then it took me into motherhood to a degree because of being a parent, a mom to two girls of my own. And so it's a great book. So before we dive really, really deep into the book, I want us to start back in when you were growing up in your childhood, because I know that had some influence in this book.
Yeah, it definitely did. It's funny when you say how you look back and you think back about different stories from your own life. And then as a mom, I think that it's great because I feel like that message is for everyone in that sense that, like, yes, it's for young girls, but like as moms, as sisters, as aunts, as, you know, when we kind of look back and reflect on what, you know, maybe some of the struggles that we had, we can realize like, wow, I wonder what my daughter, my niece, my friend, whatever is going through. And so it really is like, I think we can be that support for each other based off of those things. So I think that's cool. I definitely writing the book, I mean, that's where the desire came to write the book first and foremost, is just looking back and saying, wow, what are the things that I wish that I knew back then or had more security in back then, even as a kid? I know that, you know, kids can't understand all of the different aspects and, you know, look forward and say, oh, I know that down the road I'll feel more secure. But what are the things that we can share with them and to help them, you know, in that moment? And so I look back as a kid and I think, I talk about in the book, I came from a very loving home. You know, I was taught about Jesus and that I was loved and all those things. But for whatever reason, I just really struggled with insecurity and always struggling, never feeling like I was enough. And so, yeah, that's where, like I said, the desire came from, you know, is looking back on my childhood and saying, you know, there was so much struggle back then. Continued on through, you know, even junior high and high school, And I think that it's something that if we don't really take a close look at and take care of and let the Lord work in our lives, that we can carry those things from childhood all the way into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that at whatever age, it's a good time to look at our lives and say, wow, where have I been? What are my thoughts now? You know, and just to kind of evaluate what our outlook and our ideas are when it comes to self-worth and beauty and confidence and all those things. But it starts as early, you know, little tykes. I use my niece as an example often. She's in pre-K and she came home and she was she goes for, you know, 3 hours a day to preschool, but she comes home and she asks my sister to dress her in different things so she can keep up with the next girl. And I'm like, she's not even 5 yet. So don't tell me that it doesn't start, you know, that young. And back to childhood.
Yeah, it definitely does start young for sure. And in the book you wrote about how you were sandwiched between your two sisters and you had a rambunctious brother. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that part of your family dynamic.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think sometimes you think oh, the middle child syndrome is, you know, what we say. We kind of poo-poo it like it's not a real thing. I think there's definitely a lot to that in family dynamics, you know. Like I said, great loving parents. Never, you know, had any problem with that. But just the way that our family was, I had an older sister who was very much a perfectionist when it came to school and basically anything. You know, I share more about this in the book, but, you know, she at a young age struggled with anorexia before, you know, she was even in high school, it started. And so, you know, there was that kind of dynamic of having the perfect oldest sister. Then there was, I came next. My brother was the only boy in the family, and he did
poor guy.
We're thankful for our boy in the family. But yes, he was a lot of energy and took a lot of, I think, you know, attention from my parents, and they just had to constantly watch him and train him and all that. And then, you know, I talk a little bit too about just having my baby sister. She just was just the tiny princess of the family. And so just in between that, yeah, I think that I felt I kind of, you know, took care of myself. And if I wanted something done, I would just do it myself, whether it came to schoolwork or, you know, hobbies, things like that. And so, I just felt lost sometimes in the mixture of all of that. Mm-hmm. So
it is. And I do agree with you that middle child syndrome. I mean, I have 5. So literally I have a middle child and she is a girl.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So that is something that I know as a mom, I have had to deal with making sure her self-esteem is in check. Mm-hmm. And, you know, providing that building up, the raising up, and not raising up as in the discipline, we got to discipline our children, but raising up as in lifting them up and building mm-hmm. them up and building their character and making them feel that they are worthy. Kids get that from us as parents. And they also get it, though, from the outside influences in the community, which leads me to, you had quite the community of influence because your father is a pastor.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when people say, oh, how was that? You know, being a PK, and it's interesting. I was never a lot of times people say, oh, were you, it's like they think you're one extreme or the other. Were you the one who went totally wayward and got off into crazy stuff, or were you the goody two shoes? And I'm always like, I was just kind of me. I never really was either of those things. I'm kind of just in the middle. You know, I wasn't the perfect angel child, but I never had, you know, crazy rebellious, you know, behavior or anything like that. But yeah, you know, I felt a lot of pressure. You know, even as a kid, I would get comments, you know, from people in the congregation if they would say, ask a question and say, oh, well, you don't know that, you know, you're supposed to, you're the pastor's kid, or, you know, it just felt like there was a certain level of expectation. Mm-hmm. And at times I just didn't want that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to feel like I had to work to be somebody that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I, yeah, I'm, like I said, thankful for parents who, you know, have taught me about the Lord since, you know, young age. Thankful for that. But at times it made me almost feel like, oh, do I even want this because of this, you know, this life and all the pressure that came with it. But yeah, I learned a lot of lessons just by having a lot of different opinions from a church congregation. Yeah.
Yep. And you are, you're under that watchful eye. And, you know, it's almost, I think, as bad as, okay, maybe not quite as bad, but if you were the daughter to the president, you know, you're just, it is those, it's this unexpected expectations that said you should be perfect.
Right.
And on both sides of the spectrum, you get it where the PK could be totally crazy, wild child, or you get from the other spectrum that they're calm and they're a normal kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I think it's interesting. I would love to just sit down and interview a whole, you know, plethora of like PK kids. You know, it's just an interesting sort of way to grow up. And there's, I think it's funny, even, you know, just growing up at school, it's like, oh, well, her dad's a pastor. So, you know, or, you know, if you're going to date a guy, it's like, oh, they get like real nervous. It's like, her dad's a pastor. And sometimes you're just like, I just want to be me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Looking back, I'm very thankful for it, you know? And I think I learned a lot from that as well. Mm-hmm. But at the time as a kid, especially, yeah, there were certain times that I struggled with it.
You're like, just get me out of here. I just want to be me. Yeah. And it is hard because, I mean, you said it yourself, you were striving at times to just being enough and wanting to get to that point. So describe to me that moment when you discovered your self-worth and value.
Yeah. It's funny. I had someone recently ask me this question very similarly. And they said, you know, was it just like one moment or was it like a leading up to that? And it kind of was both, honestly. Near the end of high school, I really, you know, it was great because I had this sort of mentor in my life and I realized that struggle in my life. I realized that there were some things that I needed to ask God to work in because I felt like it was a constant fight or frustration when it came to self-worth. And so, you know, I started to just ask God even back then in, you know, in high school, like, Lord, just help me to overcome this. And so then, you know, I think that I had over the next few years, like even going through beauty school and not finding that satisfaction was found in, you know, beauty products or the way I looked or anything like that. And then with the modeling and just really being faced with some really intense situations that made me go, whoa, I really need to kind of have that moment and make peace with it or I'm going to go crazy. You know, so I think it was through different situations. And in the book, I talk a lot about some of those specific stories, you know, that kind of made me go, holy moly, like, what am I doing? But yeah, I would say, you know, in my early 20s, God really did do a work in my life. And it was after particularly like just a really tough year that I had and was going to a church. And I just felt like God like working and kind of like reshaping my heart, my mind, you know, and how I thought about these things. Mm-hmm. And so, I would say around the age of like 22, 23, I really felt kind of a breakthrough and a freedom from a lot of that negative, you know, mindset and behavior from the years previous and leading up to that. And so definitely there was that time of life. I don't know if it was a specific moment, but a time of life. Yeah, that God just was like, you gotta let this go. We gotta, you know, get that freedom and move on from it. And he did. He did, definitely.
Yeah, there is something about God's love and grace that just pulls it all together. And 2020 is hindsight. Yeah. You know, I'm sure as you were writing this book and reflecting that you saw things that even after the fact that you were in them, you were like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that connected and that connected here. And it's like, woohoo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of, she's got the better copy though, You Are Beautiful, A Model Makeover from Insecure to Confident in Christ. It's a beautiful book. I can't wait to get my own copy. But
Thank you.
Can now because it's out. So, you know, when we actually are doing this recording, I had to get the advance copy and I didn't have an actual hard copy. But I'm grateful because I think our words, our stories that we tell are so important. So in the introduction, Ashley, I mentioned that you were an international curve model. So for those people who want to make up their own definition of what that is, I'm going to let them. But I want you to define what a curve model is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. There over the last, like, maybe even 5 years, there's been this, you know, in the media, you know, people say, well, what is that? Is it plus model? Is it curve model? Different agencies use different terms. It's basically just a term that is for, so there's straight size, you know, very high fashion. And then there is, if you are more average size or plus size, you are kind of in this, you know, genre of called a curve or plus. So it doesn't mean that every body is plus size. I'm not plus size, but the work that, you know, that we do in, you know, comparison to straight size is, you know, plus. But yeah, I mean, sometimes they'll call it figure models, curve. Most agencies now call it, you know, curve models, or, you know, maybe they'll put a little plus sign, but it's just, it represents, you know, different body shapes and sizes compared to what the straight size is in the industry.
Right. And that straight size is like the skinny, skinny, where we would think it's those Victoria's Secrets. Like just a few weeks ago, they had their big show on their model runway show or whatever. And they're like, the absolute of skinny, skinny, skinny. And they have heights too, so I think that helps.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
God did not give me height. He made me short.
Hey, that's okay. We're all beautiful.
That's right. Well, I've got to ask you this. What do you think the model world is telling us as women? Because you're in it. And you've been involved in all different ad campaigns and experience things, probably good and bad. You share some of those stories in your book. Mm-hmm. What do you think the model world, though, tells us, I guess, normal or average traditional woman?
Right. Well, I think it's interesting because we can look at what's going on in the industry and see a lot of progress and a lot of really great things that are happening and a lot of, you know, campaigns and stuff that we're like, wow, that's great. Like, this is, you know, showing us that it is evolving. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, plus size models that, you know, are my friends, and they're making, you know, great careers out of it. And so there's a lot of good, but I still think, yeah, as a rule and what we're used to, the modeling industry, it puts this idea of perfection in front of us. And a lot of times it's just so unachievable. And, you know, one of the biggest things that I've learned was that, and even like on the jobs that I'd go to, because a lot of times, like, as a commercial print model, you know, you go and you work for a major department store or you're doing an ad or something, and there's all different types of models. So there's straight size, there's men, there's, you know, curve plus, there's children. And it's really interesting to see that the models that you look at and you think, oh, that's perfection. That's what is desirable. They have the same insecurities so often that we, as, you know, average women do. And so I think even models, and I'm really proud of, you know, the top models that are, you know, straight size or whatever, the, you know, top of the top supermodels that are come out and say, like, the perfection that's being portrayed, even they can't achieve. It's so it's something that it's just, you know, like I said, we've made progress. I think it's just the industry, and a lot of it isn't going to go away because, you know, they want to do what's going to sell. And so, yeah, but it is. Overall, it's a message that I think can be really damaging when we flip through magazines or, you know, anything online, television. We're bombarded with that message of, here's what we're supposed to look like if you want to be happy, if you want to be desired, if you want to be, you know, beautiful. And so, yeah, you know, most of us look at that, and maybe it's even subconscious, but it makes us struggle, you know, with who we are, at, you know, at that moment. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think that will ever change much because of that's what sells. and we want to look a certain way and other things just don't sell. And I think it also somewhat in an odd way, kind of a positive twist, is that it does instill hope that if you want to get healthy as in the straight size or the curve size, you know, the curve model, the straight model, you can do that. And I think it's that is what I have noticed actually in the modeling industry, where you all are coming out and saying, look, we have to work hard too. We have to make good choices when we eat just like you do, you know, because this is our job. This is our paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny. I guess I haven't talked a whole ton about this, but I've kind of fluctuated over the years, you know, and when you're in the modeling industry, whether you're straight size or you're curve or you're plus or whatever, there, you know, you're kind of ruled by those numbers, by that measuring tape. And so you do everything that you are doing, you know, with eating and exercise and, you know, your beauty regimens, like it definitely is a huge focus, you know, regardless of what size you are. But yeah, it is work. It is work. And it's, you know, just so happens to be a job where, you know, there is an extreme focus on that. I think that, like I said, like everybody, you know, regardless of what your career is or your job, like we're aware of it constantly, but you're just extra aware of it when you have people that are emailing you, hey, what are your measurements? We got to send this off, you know?
Right. So. And you're like, oh, I went up a half or a quarter of an inch. Oh, yeah. No figure.
Yeah.
Well, you are beautiful. And I don't think, you know, it drives me crazy, honestly, both as a mom and as a woman. I mean, I was nursing or pregnant for 10 years. So my body has been beaten up and then some. There are times that I'm like, really, Lord, why these? And then I look at my children, I'm like, I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You know,
so it is taking everything into perspective, but I do think that there is something positive from the model industry, that there are people out there that are your real good people, you know, and they're not all just, then some of it is just their DNA. It's in their genes. They are just thin and however they're made, and that's the career they're supposed to be in. I could never do that. I'm only like 5'2¾". So, you know, I try to push myself to 5'3".
Yeah.
Just keep standing tall.
I love that. And that's what I'm like all about too, is it's like you said, like regardless of what your body is, like it is like amazing and beautiful. And like you said, okay, like I've had kids and I was breastfeeding and whatever. And, you know, I love like when women are like, yeah, maybe I've got some extra pounds or some, you know, stretch marks or whatever, like, that's beautiful. And that's a sign of, you know, what, you know, God has allowed our bodies to do as women. And, you know, for me, I've got, you know, like little, it's like, I think we all kind of like sometimes look in the mirror and we're like, whoa, these stretch marks, or grab a little bit of, you know, tummy or whatever.
Yeah, cellulite. Like,
yeah. And like, that's normal. It's like, okay, whether you're that, or like you said, God made there's girls that are 6 foot in size two. And guess what? They probably, when they were growing up, they didn't like being the tall girl that, you know, was real lanky, but like celebrate with, you know, what God has given you in that moment. Yes, we're allowed to, I like that you made that point earlier. We're allowed to, with our health and with, you know, beauty things, we're allowed to, you know, to grow and to change and to do whatever we want within that. With what God has for us in the moment. And that's the important thing, is to say, like, whether or not you look down at the scale and think, I want to change that number, or, you know, or you're happy with what you've got, it's like, okay, God, thank you for what you've given me right now. I'm beautiful. Yeah, maybe I want to change some things, but who doesn't? And to find peace in that, like, I don't know. So, yeah, whether, you know, you're, you know, a mom who has, or a grandmother, you know, too. It's like, whatever. I even see sometimes, you know, like older women that are, I do, you know, hair and makeup for a lot of bridal parties too. Like I do that as well as modeling. And a lot of times these older women will look at the younger woman and say, wow, I remember those days, you know, and they'll kind of touch their skin. And I'm always thinking, like looking at them, I'm like, that's beautiful though. Like that's crazy. Like, yes, you've lived this amazing, beautiful life, and that's, you know, beauty comes in just all different shapes, sizes, looks, colors, everything. So I love celebrating that. I think we need to do more and more of that.
Oh, amen, sister. Preach it on. We need to celebrate that. And you can help celebrate that and learn a little bit more when you pick up your own copy of You Are Beautiful, A Model Makeover from Insecure to Confident in Christ. I have to ask this because we do have a lot of moms that listen. And so you're not far from your younger years. I'm a little further from that. And so if you've got a mom that's struggling right now with a teenager or even a college student, and I think, I mean, teenagers have it bad too, but our college age, you know, we've got issues, a lot of big issues there. And there's lots of things that are happening on the campus that are very degrading to women as, you know, as a female body.
Yeah.
And so what advice, what piece of advice would you give that mom who has a daughter struggling with self-worth and value?
Yeah. There's a couple different things that, you know, came to mind when you asked that. One is, yes, I completely agree. I think at that age, you have like all of these hopes and dreams for your life and you're trying to figure that out. And a lot of it, I think, can be affected by how, like your self-worth and your identity, you know, how you're viewing all those things. And so one of the things that I am a huge believer in is that when we have that foundation, that we always can go back to as far as where we're finding those things, you know, with self-confidence, identity, where, you know, the source of all of those things. And when that's Christ, when that's God, and that's really good, healthy thinking, it affects our choices greatly. I really do believe that. I think it affects how we allow ourselves to be treated, who we spend time with, those types of things. Sometimes when we're looking for that in, you know, our friends, and we just, at that age, you know, it's like you want to find those people where you belong and you feel good. And, you know, especially at college, you know, you're trying to find that, like, all right, who am I now that I'm out of high school? I get to create, you know, who I am. And so there's that, you know. And then I think, like you had, you know, touched on as well, is that with some of the degrading things, you know, with relationships and men, and there's a lot of pressure at that age. I think, you know, you want to look good because you're trying to find that man, you know, and so there's a lot of thoughts we have as far as, all right, how am I supposed to look? How, you know, what am I supposed to do with my body? All of those things. And so that's why I want, you know, girls, and, you know, a lot of these same issues start younger and younger, but like we're talking about with college age, just saying, because there are all of those pressures, put time into really learning who you are in Christ and really finding that, you know, that peace and that freedom, you know, in God, and allowing Him to be the one to give you that constant flow and filling up of like who we are and self-worth and feeling loved. And then, you know, you're not going to be running out to the world as much when you have that. Not that we're not going to be tempted, but when we're finding that in Christ versus peers, men, you know, even at that point, you're trying to figure out like career-wise, like who you're supposed to be, you know, even in all those areas. It's not just in the book as well. Like it's a lot of it. Yes. Self-confidence comes from beauty and how we view, you know, ourselves physically, but then it's also like, am I enough? Am I smart enough? Am I talented enough? Am I worthy enough? Am I, you know, do people want me, you know? And so all of those things kind of go hand in hand as well. So yeah, find that in Christ and not in the crazy pressures that are just going to absolutely like zoom at you at that age, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that is great advice. Well, you talked about a constant flow. What is one of your favorite Bible verses that you go to when you're like, maybe you've had a trigger, you get a phone call and you say you haven't been chosen. You have a few of those stories in the book.
Yeah.
And what is one of your favorite Bible verses that it's like, that creates this like, okay, I am enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's one of those that we hear all the time. Actually, in sixth grade, I remember our class, Psalm 139 is a chapter or passage that we had to memorize. And it has been one that has just honestly stuck with me ever since then. And I'm so grateful for it, because it's just, it's a chunk of scripture that kind of goes over I mean, from the time that we were, before we were born. So about how God, you know, created us to be, you know, knowing exactly every single detail about us. And that, you know, not only before we were born, but as we were born, he knows exactly everything that we're going through right now, every thought, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, past, present, future. And it just, it's one of those passages that make you feel loved and special. And I think that when we forget who we are, we can go back to, and it's just like, kind of leaves you in awe, like, wow, that there is a God out there who loves me so much, that he created me, you know, and has great plans for me. And so it just, it brings great comfort. And I've gone back to that many, many times. Oh. And I know I can will continue to do so. I love that one.
Oh, that is a good one. And you are beautiful. So I'm glad that's one that you go back, because we do need that pick me up, that lift me up. Even our kids can beat us down. I'm sure you've been mean to your mama. And not on purpose, of course. Yeah. Not now. I'm sure you got her a great Christmas present. Yeah. But, you know, we do. We beat up our parents. We beat up our siblings. Yeah. And we beat up our friends. We beat up our community. I mean, we all have life, because life happens. Sometimes we have that junk in our life. And we need to bring it back to God's reality, what he promises for us. And I love that throughout your book, that's what you do. And that's one thing I want to highlight. In her book, Ashley has a section called the Beauty Box. And I love it because there's questions. And at the end of every chapter, there's, I think, 11 chapters, if I remember correctly. And at the end of every chapter, there are questions. Those questions are just very thought-provoking. It allows you to go back and reflect on what she talked about in the actual chapter. And I just want to highlight some of those chapters, Ashley. They're titled Unseen, Overlooked, Pretty, Skinny, Beautiful, Elite, Strive, Slide, Curve, Reality, and Confident. Whew, if that's not a handful, we all need help on all of this. And I'm telling you, you will gain something from this book. So we will make sure we have all that information for you all so you can pick up your own copy of your book in the show notes. One of the chapters, and I think, wasn't Unseen the first chapter? Yeah, it was. Okay. This one I thought was really good. You had a quote here from Mary Kay Ash, and you wrote in your book, "Everyone has an invisible sign hanging around their neck saying, 'Make me feel important.'"
Yeah, it's it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you're one of those people that everybody else looks at and says, "Oh, well, they must have it all together. I'm sure they don't struggle with, you know, insecurity or question who they are." I honestly believe that every single person in this world has questions, you know, in our hearts and in our minds that say, you know, that just want to feel loved, and like we are worthy of attention, like we're worthy of praise, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, like Mary Kay Ash, she has that, she says an invisible sign. And, but it's true. It's true. And so that's why I, you know, don't fall into the lie that says like, oh, I'm the only one. Like I have all these insecurities and these struggles or whatever, or I wish that I was just like them, because every single person has their things. And yeah, there's certain times in life where maybe those struggles or thoughts are greater than others. But yeah, definitely just know that every single person around us has that same desire to be seen and to be loved and to be adored. And so, I mean, I find that comforting, you know, that, that everybody, it looks different, you know, from each person to the next about what those things are that, you know, we desire, you know, to be seen as, you know, maybe it's smart, maybe it's beautiful, maybe it's worthy, maybe it's, you know, whatever, to be accepted. But everybody does have that invisible sign saying, like, see me, I want to be loved, you know, I want to be accepted. So, yeah, don't forget that. And there's never, I mean, that's why, like, I feel like, you know, nowadays it's so important that we do encourage each other, and that when we see someone, you know, just in our life, and when, I mean, you can feel that, like when you walk into a room and you see, oh, this person, they might need some encouragement. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and speak it. And sometimes I feel silly because, like, I'm that type of person that, like, I'll be like, oh, girl, I love your hair. I love your outfit, or I love this. And you know, I genuinely mean it. And I think, like, if I think that, like, let's share it, because some of those things and those little signs that we, you know, do wear, they're not going to be so pronounced in our life when we are getting, you know, encouragement from one another. It's just a very simple little thing, but I think that all of that does add up.
It does all add up, Ashley. I totally agree. And I think it is something that's beautiful. And that's why it struck me that we all have these invisible signs, but this one, we all want to be loved. We all want to be adored. That's something that we all have. And it's not anything that money can buy. You know, it may buy us happiness for maybe a year, for some of us a month. We'll burn through the money, whatever. You could have the best husband and then he can go off and be a jerk. You know, I mean, life happens, but right. We all want to feel loved and adored and respected and know that we got it. Whatever that got it is, we right. got what it is for us. And I think it was just beautiful that you included that and even encouraging us as women to lift each other up, to tell. You know, I can remember sometimes going in, checking out at the grocery store and got this sweet little cashier behind the desk and we'll strike up a conversation and I'll make a comment, whatever, you know, oh, you're looking great, or thank you so much, you're hustling, or thank you for packing my bread really nicely.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not smashed. Yeah. I can actually make a sandwich out of it when I get it home.
Right.
You know, those little things.
Yeah.
And they do add up. And I think that's so important because it does add to our fill tank and we need that and we need to support each other and we need to open up. We're too much technology driven.
Yes, we are. We so are. We're stuck in our little bubbles. And we pass up opportunity after opportunity to just look up. And even if it's just a smile and a like, I see you, mm-hmm. you know, it like so simple, again, so simple, but just to let other people know, like, you know, that you are seen and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it, love it. I could just give you a hug right now. From afar, I guess I can give you a hug, you know, a Skype hug. Yeah. That's right. That's what we'll have to name it now, is a Skype hug.
There you go.
All right, so I want to jump over to Overlooked, that chapter. You talk mm-hmm. about not being chosen for a live local fashion show. Talk a little bit about that story.
So funny. I remember that time of my life so well. And, you know, I remember hearing on the radio just about this local fashion show that they were going to be putting on for, I think it was just like for fall fashion. And in my mind, I was like, this is it. Like, I know that when I do this, I'm going to feel special. And so anyways, I remember asking my mom, hey, will you call, you know, this number, get the information? You know, I knew that on the ad or whatever that it had said the ages and a little bit of the details. So I thought all she had to do was call, get me this opportunity, and I was going to be like princess for a day. And again, it was like kind of during a time where I just was, you know, a young kid struggling to just feel pretty and whatever. So come to find out, after my mom had called this number, I was at like a store in the area, and she got off the phone. I was like, you know, sitting on pins and needles, just thinking like, okay, let's go, let's get this on the calendar. And she said, well, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, like, you know, they don't need, you know, you to be a part of it. You know, and then I was dumbfounded. I mean, I was sad when she said that, but then I was just like dumbfounded and so hurt, because she followed that up with, but your older sister and your younger sister are going to be a part of it. And I remember crying so hard and feeling like, you know, and I remember saying to her, but this was my thing. I asked you to call. They didn't want this. They could care less, you know, and her just saying like, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Like, this is just, you know, they just aren't going to use you. And, you know, so the weeks leading up to that, I was just so, you know, bummed out. And I remember talking to a friend about it. And then, you know, the day came and you know, they all got in the car and they were excited. And then there were even some neighbor girls who were going to be a part of it as well. So they all packed up into the car, gave a little adios. And I remember, you know, sitting outside on the bench and just crying and being like, I want to be part of that, you know. And then they came home with their, you know, their stories and their goodie bags and, you know, all that. But it was just, yeah, one of those stories that I think affected me so much as a kid. And looking back, like, I'm thankful that, you know, it's in the moment as a kid, you, everything is so big to you in that moment. But looking back, you know, I use that story and I kind of laugh because I think like, wow, God has used that in my life. And it was really painful, you know, to my kid self, but he was with me even through that. And I think that God uses a lot of those stories throughout our lives. And when we look back, we can see like, wow, that's God's fingerprint. Because if you look and you see how he's almost used that as an oxymoron to where, you know, things had have led me to, it's interesting in that way. So that's what happened with that.
Yeah. And look, now you're an international model. I mean, come on, go figure. It didn't stop you, did it?
No,
it didn't stop you. Well, what message do you want to tell young teens that have heard those radio advertisements? Or I think it's gotten worse, because that was in the days where we really didn't have a lot of cell phones. We still had the landlines and we had to call and pick up a phone. And, you know, it was a lot different back then. But now there are the leadings in as to, hey, come on into this conference and we will possibly choose you for, and they go there and they get nothing. What would you tell those teens being overlooked and missing out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I did one of those too. I mean, I remember, yeah, again, hearing on the radio, this was years later, and going with my mom, bless her heart, saying, Mom, will you please drive me? It was like a couple hours away. And you know, it was a no again at that point. I remember, you know, kind of just being in this room filled with all these people and being, you know, I was a big dreamer as a kid growing up and just always, you know, had these like lofty goals. And, you know, it was, one of those situations where it got up, you know, my little part in the line had got to the front and you go and you talk to these casting agents or whatever. And, you know, they were kind at the time, but they just said, you know, oh, like it's a no right now and leaving, you know, being like, oh, but, you know, God's still, two things. Number one, like, it's okay to get a no. You know, I don't know if you're, you know, maybe a student that's going for a specific goal, you know, in school, or if you're, you know, a young adult who's trying to go for a career, you know, goal. It's, we all have our things, but like, God works even in the no's. Mm. And so if there are things that he says no to, like, he's protecting you, he still has amazing plans for you and for your life. So don't allow those things, those no's from the world, you know, to have an effect on how you, you know, view yourself. You know, God's going to take care of you and God's going to fill up whatever area that is that you're looking for. So he's got you.
Mm. Well, I don't know about you all, but I need to read more of her brand new book, You Are Beautiful, A Model Makeover from Insecure to Confident in Christ. It is hot off the press. You will want to get your own copy. I know I've enjoyed it. I've marked it up, as you can see, or for those of you who are listening, as you can hear, and had a lot of fun with it. And I think really you will too. Okay, now this is a sweet story. Well, kind of a sweet story. You begin your chapter off with Skinny, mm-hmm. starting talking about two little girls and their daddies. Mm-hmm. Share a little bit about that story and what you saw looking on and your perspective on all of it.
Yeah. So basically there was one day, you know, at a restaurant, there was a dad and her and his daughter, and she, you know, was kind of like the stereotypical beautiful little girl. And he was sitting across the booth from her, and he was, you know, on his phone, kind of just like totally disconnected, you know, had this special little gift, you know, and I get it as parents, like, you know, life is busy, whatever, but it was just him and his daughter. And it was like she was looking at him and you know, eating her food, but it was like see me? Like, do you see me? Like, you know, here it is. Like, I'm with my dad, you know. And he just was consumed with whatever was in front of him on his cell phone. And then in a different area, a different booth, there was a little girl who was not the stereotypical beauty, you know. She was just a little bit, you know, heavier set and had, you know, maybe wasn't as put together, you know. And so anyways, but her dad, it was so precious because it was like her dad and her were in the booth and he was just like consumed with this moment and just enjoying the company of his daughter and the happiness that they were sharing. And, you know, she was sitting in this booth and you could tell she was a little girl that she didn't think twice about, you know, the things around her. It was like she was with her dad and he was filling her up and making her feel loved and special. And, you know, that's what he was giving her was worth way more than just, you know, the fact of, all right, I'm here with my daughter. I'm sitting in a booth. I'm on my phone. But it was just kind of crazy to think, you know, that that's how the Lord sees us. Like, regardless of if our hair's a mess, if we're, you know, not perfect, you know, that he is there and he is just enthralled in us and our beauty and our company. And, yeah. And so it was sad just to kind of see, you know, this other little girl who, you know, beautiful little girl, but, was not getting that true source of, you know, attention and love from her dad, because he was caught up in whatever he was doing. And so, yeah, you think about the differences also in their lives, like as they grow, you know, what, you know, each of them felt as far as love from their fathers is probably very different. And so, you know, the one little girl that, you know, wasn't getting that from her dad as she grows up might struggle more or, you know, think like, well, where am I going to find that source and how am I going to fill that void compared to the little girl who, you know, had a dad who just was like, all about her in that time.
What great reminders. I mean, that story touched me very much so. And I think it is that realization. It's really cool to see God's wisdom come to life here on earth. Mm-hmm. And we can read about it in the Bible, but when we live it and we can see it and we can make his love for us and his grace and his mercy so tangible that we can taste it and touch it, yeah. We can feel it. That's when I think it begins to sink in a lot more. We can begin to understand. And I kind of got that a little bit from you, is that it was like a, oh, wow, this is how God loves me. And, yeah. You know, I know that. And that's hard because we all have our circumstances, good or bad, whatever mm-hmm. life throws our way. But indeed, he loves us for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that story. Okay. Now, I don't really want to do it, but we got to slide. I'm just, yeah. I'm just saying. Okay, so I had emotions in this yeah. book, and this one got me a little upset uh-huh. because of the story shared. Now, I'm just giving highlights because everybody's going to want to pick up their own copy so they can get it, but this was your right. rough year. You said you had a rough year. Yeah. And so in this rough year, I'm just going to kind of throw a few things out here. You said you dropped out of the Miss Michigan pageant. Now, what was that, the USA or the Miss America side?
It was USA.
USA, okay. So yeah. you dropped out of the Miss Michigan USA pageant. You mm-hmm. lost your man, yeah. and you guys were even as far as to checking out houses type of thing.
Yeah.
You were dreaming about these homes.
Yeah.
So you lost him. Then you talk about and you share a really sweet story about your second dad. Yeah. In there and how special this family was to you. And unfortunately, though, he died in mm-hmm. a tragic accident.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get a phone call and you lost your job because yeah. the company claimed bankruptcy. Yep. I'm like, what else could happen? And then there is something else that happened.
Yeah. Ugh,
tell me that story.
Yeah. So... yeah, it was pretty incredible. I had this year, it's like we talk about in the book, yeah, in Slide, there was just thing after thing after thing that just, it was almost like my life went from feeling like I was at like the very top of everything, the top of the mountain, you know, like we had said, it was like my first serious relationship, you know, career was going well. I was excited about life and everything going on. And then it was just like, almost like dominoes. It just kind of felt like it just gradually was falling. And no matter how, you know, much I tried to grasp on to the good things in life, it just continually just like, you know, fell apart. So, yeah, after all of those things, it was like a year at the end of that year. And I was like, I have had, you know, the craziest year, and I don't know why all of these bad things have happened to me, but I am determined to get on a different course and to make this better. So anyways, I had gone on a business trip, with a friend, and, was kind of making these plans about how I was going to, you know, just, kind of like get going on a new life. And, while we were there, there was a group of her friends. They were all business owners, extremely successful people. And one night there was like a dinner party. We had flown in for a couple of days and then we were going to be leaving the next day. And, you know, at this dinner party, I remember thinking like, you know what, all these people, like just young entrepreneurs, very successful, just feeling like something, you know, was off. And, so anyways, come to find out that, at that dinner party, someone had, put something in, we all had a single glass of champagne. It was, I, you know, as a Christian, I'm very, conservative with that, but, yeah, I had a glass of champagne that somebody had put, a drug in. And, yeah, shortly after I could feel that something was not right and, was attacked, physically, you know, and, I remember at that point just being like, because everything, whatever was put in that drink, just, it was so fuzzy and it was so hard. And, but still thinking like, things like this don't happen to girls like me. Like, you know, and all, I definitely went into like a form of shock because I think I just didn't know how to like fight back. And I mean, I did, but it was like the harder I did, the more, you know, that, I just realized like I might not get out alive. And so I did not know the man who made the advance and the attack. And, yeah, I was in a headlock at one point, and I just remember looking and saying, Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but please, Lord, just like, please just save me. You know, I knew that in that moment, like I was not going to be able to in my own strength. And by the grace of God, I did, get out safely without being, raped. There was, yes, definitely physical abuse, and it was traumatic. And it, you know, after even getting out, it took so long to comprehend what had happened. But, yeah. And I share, you know, this also in the book, but God has let me know through, and I'll let people find this out in the book as well, but God has, again, put his fingerprints on that moment. And like, again, I'll share of why I feel that the Lord allowed me to get out of that safely and how he's used that in my life to just help me take a look and say, regardless of something like that happening, that does not define me. Mm-hmm. That, our circumstances, the things, the tough parts of life, the sad parts of life, I think they can have an effect on how we view ourselves and our identity and our self-worth, but that God is there to take all that and like, just take it all away, just, you know, annihilate it and say like those things, like whatever you think define you, I'm getting rid of. Mm-hmm. And to build, he can build you up and bring you to a place that you've never been, when it comes to your view of yourself. And, so yeah, so it was definitely a very difficult year. You know, it when I was writing the book, you know, and I work with a great co-author, Laura Lee Craker, mm-hmm. and we talked about like, do we put this in the book? And I really felt like, you know, God didn't call me to write a book to make me look really good. God called me to write a book to share these hard things that maybe make me feel really vulnerable and that can be hard to talk about, but they're real and they're honest. And so that's what I wanted to do by sharing this, that part of my story. It did affect me for a couple years after that and brought me to a really low place. But then it also sets up the stage for how God has just brought incredible freedom and has brought me to a new place from that. So
it is beautiful. It is a story though, that as you're reading it, you're like, you've got to be kidding me. What else, you know? And
yeah,
I think we all experience that in our life. We question that. What else? Why do I have to keep going this? Why me, God? And then we begin to push him away. And we don't want anything to do. Yeah. So when you were coming back to him, how did you, and what did you do to have your faith sustain you?
Yeah. So, you know, for a while after that, it was weird. I did, like you had said, like I had pushed away. I didn't do anything crazy. I didn't go off into, you know, totally say I don't want to have anything to do with, you know, with the Lord or Christianity. It just was a time of like total wrestling and hurt. And it was about the time, I'm amazed at how God has used this in my life, but my older sister was pregnant with her first baby. It was a little girl. And it gave me this whole like, man, I just want to be around and be a good influence for this new little girl that will be born. And it was interesting. I had started going to a church that was in the area, and it was just like God was kind of melting the parts of my heart that were just like ice. You know, it was just like, it was over a period of time, but definitely God, you know, there was one Sunday where I remember I was just like, I'm done. I'm letting go of this. I want to move forward. I don't want to be owned, you know, by these feelings that are just keeping me weighted down. And honestly, truly, since that day, God has just done a 180 with my life. And, you know, it wasn't overnight. Like, you didn't wake up overnight and think like, oh, everything's just peachy perfect from here on out. But there was, it was like this new found part of like my relationship with the Lord that I hadn't experienced before. And it was like a trust and a love that, you know, even though I had been a Christian for so long, it was just a new and a fresh season, that God used to grow me closer to him. And, yeah.
That is incredible. I mean, it really is. And I think we need to hear those redemption stories. We need to know that we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. Mm-hmm. But God sees us through the eyes of Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus has taken and washed us all white as snow. And you're in Michigan now. So do you have snow?
You know, there was snow yesterday. And after being in Florida, I was steaming out at a gas station. And like, it was so like blustery cold and snow. And I was like, okay, I got to get like reacclimated to this. But yeah,
why did I move here?
yeah
Well, he does, he washes us as white as snow, and there's just something so comforting about that. And that is something too that shines in your book, that you do leave us with hope. So I gotta ask you this question. As a Christian woman, one who really, I don't want to say, may sound off a little bit, but who sets themselves apart, saying that this is who I am. A lot of people, they're Christians on Sundays, and then they do whatever they want the other 6 days of the week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've had those discussions, especially being a PK. It's something that you talk about at the dinner table, go figure. So what does it mean to surrender?
To surrender, yeah. You know, I think that surrender to somebody who is not a Christian, it almost seems like, oh, but I don't want to. It seems like it's a task. It's something that you're giving up. It's something that you have to sacrifice. And, you know, I think that the biggest thing is that when you have a relationship with the Lord, you realize that to surrender means that it's going to be a flood of goodness and all the grace and that God has and all the good things. So to surrender, it can be hard, especially like if we don't fully understand it, or there's things that we've been holding on to. But my encouragement to you would, and to, you know, us as women, is like the things that we want to hold on to so tight, when we choose to surrender and say, okay, God, I'm just going to give this to you, and you take it, and I'm yours. Just get ready, like just be prepared, because He is going to blow your mind, and our lives are going to be so much more fulfilling and sweet and joyful when we do that. So it's not a negative thing at all.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think a lot of people do think of it as they're giving up something. And then that's a negative thing. And it's, I'm going to be missing something because I don't have that control. And, I love that. It is very positive. And wait for the floodgates. I mean, come on. Okay. Right, so I'm talking about floodgates. Oh, this is deep stuff. Yes. I had no idea that watching you, I'm kind of one of those weird ones, you know, with five children, we watch a variety of shows. We have our family show, so to speak. And, you know, my husband and I, we've been together now for a really long time. We're going to be coming up to our 25th year. So we've been married for a long time. Thank you. But in that, we like our little love stories and we like to see the happiness. Everybody wants to see that through someone else. And so somehow, some way, we were watching Coupled. And so I saw you, not knowing that one day I would, you'd write a book and I would meet you. And so I did.
I love that.
I actually told my husband, I said, you won't believe this. Because remember, we're moving and we're in the midst of it. So he's actually down south and I'm still up north. And so I said, you will not believe this. I said, I'm interviewing this gal. And he's like, I think I actually remember the couple. And so we were trying to go back and forth because I haven't, you know, got on to the old episodes to, you know, refresh my memory. But I was like, this is really cool. So I love love stories.
Yeah.
And so we've got to talk a little bit about Coupled. I mean, I'm sure they can go and find your episodes and what it is. But where in your life did Coupled come in? And why did you even choose to get on a dating reality show? I mean, come on, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl, let me tell you. No, I never in a million years. And when I say never in a million years, I genuinely never thought that I would do anything like that. I had at the time been with an agency, a modeling agency that was, you know, in Miami. And so they contacted them and they were looking to put a variety of different types of people on the show, like the most, you know, most shows do. Yeah. So anyways, when I first got an email about it, I said, absolutely not, like laughed it off. And then it was kind of like multiple people were like, you know what, just go ahead and check it out. At the time, it was the first season, so I had nothing to compare it to. I had no idea what kind of a show it was going to be. Kind of went through the process of interviewing and was, you know, told that it was going to be very reputable and classy and, you know, who knows what. They know how to get you. But I found myself on this show and I just said, you know what, Lord, if I get there and I feel like you do not want me to be there, I will leave. I will leave 100%. I actually had met some great Christian producers through the experience. And so, I found myself there. And, there were some things that I just was like, it was a total leap of faith. And going into the book, like I talk about how I was like, I don't want a camera like all up in my face and like, you know, showcasing like, you know, like I'm not like this bikini ready, whatever, you know, I'm not like, that's not me. Like, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, it's funny how God brings purpose to these things that we never thought that we would do. And so, I went on this show and it was kind of a crazy experience. How I found myself there, I still look back and I laugh. I'm like, I don't even know. But at that time in my life, I was like, I had prayed that, like, I'd been on the phone with my dad and I was like praying, you know, for God's will and opportunity. And then that came along. So I was like, is this something you have for me? All right, let's go. Let's do it. And, you know, trust the Lord along the way. But I found myself in Anguilla.
Mm-hmm. Ah, Well, it's a beautiful place, definitely.
It was.
And I'm not going to tell the whole story because they're going to have to pick up their own copy so they can read it of You Are Beautiful, A Model Makeover from Insecure to Confident in Christ. I'm just saying, I wonder if they slept in the same room. We'll just have to wait and you'll have to read it. Well, you know, that's for another story. But
that is,
you know, yeah, but BT, you met a really good guy.
Yeah.
But you didn't stay together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I had said, you know, before going on the show, I was very upfront about my faith, my beliefs, my morals, all those types of things. And I was like, listen, guys, you're not going to want me on a show like this. I'm going to be boring because I don't, you know. And so anyways, I had said, you know, basically, you know, we have the opportunity to meet multiple men while we're there and see if you click with someone. So I had said, in order for me to be with someone, I want them to bring up their faith first, and you know, and to so that way I know they're not just saying like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I love the Lord too. So anyways, so when this was not shown, I think on the show, but BT had said, you know, I go to a such and such church, and you know, it's important for me to find someone that I can grow with spiritually. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I think that's someone that, you know, that was like a sign that you want me to date while I'm here. So anyways, yeah, it was, looking back at that time, I am thankful for that time. He was not the man that God had for me, you know, by any means. And when you're on a reality show, there truly is only so much you can know about each other.
Yeah.
And that's the whole, like, that's no surprise. People know that. But yeah, so at the end of it, I chose to leave, you know, saw that we were not meant to be. But even so, I look back and I see how God used it. And in that time there with him and having that friendship. And yeah, so it was totally an unexpected experience. But God, you know, taught me through it, even through just having this through dating, you know, this guy while I was there. And then also the experience and being challenged and saying like, okay, in this setting, I really have to consistently rely on Christ for my, that foundation, like we talked about, because it, you know, it does have a way of bringing out your insecurities. And, so that was cool. I felt like, you know, God held my hand through that, and so thankful for that.
Oh, well, I was quite fascinated by the whole show and by your, I just got to tell you, we were watching very closely with you all as a couple being coupled together. It was, I was like, oh, come on, will they make it? You know,
Yeah. You
have those that you, truly cheer on. And all I've got to say is you got to pick up the book so you can get all the extra details because there's some good ones in there. Just saying. Okay. So what is your heart's desire for women who read your book?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, every single time that I sat down to write, or have a discussion, you know, with the people that also have come along to help with this book and my co-author, Laura Lee, I would spend time in prayer because every single time I would say, Lord, I want to say what you want me to say simply because I want people to experience what I've experienced with my story and with you. And like I've said, my life looks so different today than it does when I was just weighted down by like lies and, you know, just the struggles that I had had. And so, you know, I want women to read it, and I hope that it affects their lives where they're at and helps them to travel more lightly and to put aside some of their own personal struggles and some of those frustrations, and to allow God to just come in and help them to break free from that. And, start to experience that freedom. And, you know, like I said, I can't say it enough. Like the amount of joy and your life will look so different when you're walking in that truth and in that faith, you know, that the Lord loves you and is allowing, you know, him to fill you up, instead of the world and chasing after these fake, you know, temporary fixes in beauty and self-worth. So I hope, yeah, the people that read that, I hope that they also are encouraged to, you know, teach the people around them and to kind of, you know, allow that to affect their lives, but then also the lives around them. Like you said, like as a mom, you know, like the struggles are different with each stage that we go through. because we learn and we grow, but, you know, maybe just to encourage people to say like, wow, okay, like I've got these teens, I've got these little ones, I've got whatever. And just to make it a mission to help each other in this area, because we're not alone. And, you know, I think it's something that, you know, sometimes we talk about these things with friends or whatever, but just to be open about it, you know, let's kind of like link arms and just move forward and all that, and share the message of, you know, our love and self-worth and that it comes from Christ.
Amen, sister. Preach it on. We could be here for hours. We really could. We'll just have to have you back. Okay, Ashley?
I'd love it.
We'll just bring you back and we'll chat again. I'm sure we can find some topic to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that'd be fun. Well, I know we're going to have people who want to connect with you. So where can they find you?
Yeah. So my website is ashleywrights.com. It's ashleywrights. .com. And then I love Instagram. It's Ashley R. Writes. That's where my Instagram is. And then, Facebook is just, Ashley Writes. It's a public page. Actually, I don't know the handle at the moment, but
we'll have it definitely in the show notes for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, you know, with, if you go to ashleywrites.com, it'll give all the links to purchase the book and to connect with me further there as well. So it'll have Instagram links, Facebook links, and all of that. So you can find all the information there.
Oh, well, we will have all that information for you conveniently in the show notes so that you can go and find and search Ashley out, because I know she's an inspiration to you. She's an inspiration to me. You're going to want to pick up her book and just really be encouraged. I know in her book, she's got the beauty box. She also has in there scriptures for reference. And so if you're one who says, gosh, I'm a new Christian, I'm struggling with self-worth right now and value, it doesn't matter the age. I think through her stories, you can pick out and you can begin to say, oh, here's a piece maybe where I can just start reading in this part of the Bible. Because the Bible is kind of, whew, it's just really big. And in fact, I wanted to bring out a quote that you had in your book. It says, good Bible-based God talks is the healing cure for a bruised heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's true. And, you know, the more conversation, the more talks, and the more that we put into our mind that is straight from Scripture, you know, that is, it really does. It transforms our minds and our hearts and our lives. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can say, oh, what? I just need my girlfriend time. You know, whatever. It's like, I'm having a bad day, an off day or whatever. Like, you know, I just need a shopping trip. That's fun. That's great. I encourage that. But, that's right. It never hurts. That joy and that transforming of the mind is going to come through, biblical based conversations and scripture and just investing in that time. And so it's definitely true.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I know we could be here forever. So I just have one last question for you. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
You know, I would say when I look back at my story and how God has, you know, written it from start to where I am now, I would say, you know, that God has shown me through this, through the story, proven his love, mm-hmm. and proven that he can be all that we need, regardless of the things that have happened, regardless of struggles. So, you know, to just rest in the fact that God can take anything that is broken, he can make it beautiful, and he can transform any story. So regardless of how much you've struggled or, you know, have been insecure or never felt enough, like he can take you and make you feel like a princess and give you an incredible confidence. He can just transform your life. And you know what, like you said, like I'm excited for the rest of the story. So he's always working in our stories.
He is. He has a way of doing that. Ashley writes, you are beautiful. And thank you so much for being real, sharing a part of your life's journey with us. And I can't wait for the second book. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was great.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.